to the ACC Podcast. We're honored that you took some time out of your day to listen to one of our weekly messages. We hope that these messages bring you closer to Jesus, strengthen your faith, and deepen your understanding about the Bible. If you're thinking of attending ACC, we're currently holding one service at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings. You can visit our website for more information. That's anacortischristian.church. That's A-N-A-C-O-R-T-E-S Christian.church. You can also visit our website if you have any questions about ACC, like our core beliefs, where we are located, or if you'd like to get in contact with us. We would love to hear from you. So, whether you're sitting, driving, or exercising, thanks for tuning in. Let's dive into the Bible together.
So what comes to mind, see if I can whistle up here, what comes to mind when I whistle this, right? I don't know what comes to mind. I mean, some of you the movie, right? Or some, when I do that, and I got, you guys do it with me this time. Let's see, my mouth's a little dry because I'm up here. You're in an easy spot. Let's do it together, right? There'll be some more opportunities for you to practice here in just a little bit. What comes to mind for me is a showdown, right? A Western movie, a focus in on the eyes, steely eyes, glazed, two guys, what, you know, or in a modern day context, Costco parking lot, or at my house, the last piece of pizza, you know, I'm like, showdown, right? Which I'm learning now that as I get older, you know, because in my house I have four kids, the last piece of pizza, that's a dangerous thing. For many years, I've probably said this up here, I just assume that's mine because I'm the dad. You know, there's no showdown here. And then I realize, and the Lord is helping to teach me that my kids are all growing at a faster rate than I should be growing. Therefore, that last piece of pizza doesn't need to be mine, and I'm learning to yield, which we're going to be talking more about yielding today. But I wanted to talk about the showdowns. Because today we get the opportunity in Joshua chapter 10 to watch and to read about one of the biggest showdowns that's taken place in the Israelites' history since the 12 plagues and since leaving Egypt. Much more than just a physical showdown, it's a spiritual showdown. I want to kind of go through the story, just kind of recap it, and then we're going to read through part of it together. It's a long chapter, we can't read all of it. But just to tell the story quickly of Joshua chapter 10, and feel free to turn there, kind of be reading along. Here in a second, I'll go back and read it. But I just kind of want to summarize the story as quickly as I can. The story of chapter 10 starts with a king. His name is Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem. This is long before Jerusalem becomes what we think of it to be. So Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, he's afraid. He's watched the Israelites come in, take out Jericho, take out Ai. Now his closest neighbors, who Mike talked about last week, the Gibeonites, have formed an alliance with him. And as we see here in a little bit when we read it, the Gibeonites weren't just some pushover small little town. So they've formed an alliance with this people, the Israelites, who are taking over. So he talks to his buddies around him and their neighbors, because they realize, hey, we're next. We're in trouble here. And they decide to go to war against the Gibeonites for what they've done, because we got to jump on this before they take us out here. And so the Gibeonites, those people who'd made the alliance, had some of that deception, if you were again here last week, they quickly get word to Joshua and says, hey, we need help. And so Joshua goes for an all-night march. He ascends up to the Gibeonites, 25 miles, what would normally take a three-day trip. They do it in one night to mount a surprise attack on Adonai Zedek and his four other kings and those people that are waging war on the Gibeonites. Along the way, God tells Joshua that he has given this mighty army into his hands. And he tells him, don't fear. Joshua surprises them. God throws them into confusion, and they run away trying to get back to their fortified cities. But they didn't just pick a fight with the Israelites or the Gibeonites. They picked a fight with God. So they run away. They're headed back to their fortified cities, and God starts throwing large stones, large hailstones down on them. Not only that, but as they pursue them, Joshua says this unimaginable thing that will probably raise many questions for some of you. He says, "Sun and moon, stand still," so that they could have time to catch their enemies before the sun went down that day. And the Bible tells us that this crazy, outlandish thing that Joshua calls out to God somehow happens as the sun and moon delays. It was crazy, like nothing that has ever happened before or since. And at the end of the story, the former king of Jerusalem and his buds and his army and everybody that had gone out to fight, to wage war, were completely devoted to destruction. A spiritual and physical showdown. If you're like me, as I read this story and as I thought about it all week, you'll have many questions. And I was actually thinking about this story, Joshua chapter 10, last Sunday, as I was standing, and my son and I had the incredible privilege to go on an Oahu trip with my brother, family lines, and about 18 other men. And we had the privilege to go up, and we didn't know what time it was because the whole week we were on this river and they took our watches away so we could just kind of be there, be away from everything. You're in one of the most remote places that you can possibly be. And we went up to this in the Chalk Basin area. We went up what we were calling Chalk Dome. Since then I've heard maybe it's called Lambert's Dome or something else. But we went up to this high place. We actually got up at 3:30 a.m. that morning. We didn't know. The guy just got us up, and we sat there in the dark and we were waiting for the sun to rise. And as it did, you know, it was this really, this anticipation of seeing it rise. And I took a quick little time lapse. Of course, no picture really does it justice. And here in just a second, I have a picture that kind of gives you a better idea. But as we were there, it was just this really cool moment. But I was thinking about Joshua chapter 10 and thinking somewhere, I have a zillion questions for the Lord about this story. But I was picturing back on this certain day, somebody else got up maybe around 3:30 a.m. They're like, "Let's go catch a sunrise this morning." And they walked up there and they waited in the dark. And they waited and they waited. And they're like, "What's going on? Am I going crazy here?" I mean, that's just what I was picturing as we were up there, my son and I, looking at this beautiful place and thinking, somebody was up there. What, God, how in the world did you do this? What were you doing? And unlike our group, who were eventually rewarded with this beautiful cherry sun because of all the wildfires, sadly enough, but this beautiful cherry sun just kind of rose above the horizon. They were waiting and waiting and wondering if the world had ended or if they were going crazy. So that's our story. What in the world is going on here, and what can we take home for ourselves today? With this story about this battle and this God raining hailstones and then God actually delaying somehow, and I don't know, again, all these questions, how could that happen? Is that true? Here's what I want to leave you or kind of give to you, and we'll repeat it a couple times. I would encourage you to write this down to dwell on it maybe later too. Here's my kind of big idea. If I were to sum up what I was going to say today in a sentence, it's this. The fear of the Lord results in either devotion or destruction based on whether we harden to it or endure in yielding to it. That's a complicated sentence. Probably if I were sitting there in your shoes and just listening to it, I would not really have any idea what's going on. I want to read it again. We'll say it several times, and hopefully by the end of our day, we'll start to stick it inside of you in a way that you can live it out this week. The fear of the Lord results in devotion or destruction based on whether we harden or endure in yielding. I can tell it to you later if you kind of like, what? Tell me that again. I want to read, and you can follow with me. We're going to go back through the story, this time reading just Joshua 10, verses 1 through 15. As we hope and I pray that we can kind of just make this, kind of just absorb it and live with it and see what God wants to do. So starting in verse 1, "As soon as Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had captured Ai and had devoted it to destruction." Let me stop real quick because I want to give this later on. We said today we're seeing a showdown. And later on, starting in verse 6 and beyond, anytime you hear the word the Lord, I want to invite you that can whistle And that use the can't, cannot. Don't feel bad about yourself. You can kind of pretend. Woo-hoo. All right, I want you to invite, anytime you hear the Lord, I want to hear a, and if you want to, you can go to, but all right, just get to that part, just to kind of keep you kind of aware of thinking about this showdown that's going on here, and then hopefully we can tie that showdown into your life as we read. All right, starting again, halfway through verse 1, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. He feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were warriors. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jarmuth, to Japhiah, king of Lachish, and to Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me, and let us strike Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the people of Israel. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, do not relax your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand before you. So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal. And the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth-horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel, while they were going down on the ascent of Beth-horon, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. In the final several verses here, and at that time Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord, you guys are doing good, gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, until the nations took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. So Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. Let's pray before we flesh that out. Father, would you lead us this morning as we desire to look at this showdown and as we desire to make it a part of our lives and see how you want us to learn from, to observe, and to enter into a showdown with you and with the world today. Father, would you lead us as we unpack this? Thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Does anybody else want to be in a showdown with God? Your word got around quickly when what the Israelites had been doing, people had seen, again, as we've said several times, what they did to Jericho, what they did to Ai, and now the Gibeonites, who, again, wasn't just some pushover sissy people, right? The king, Adonai Zedek, he saw these people were great, their city was great, and yet for some reason, they have made an alliance with Israel and with Israel's God. The king looks around, the king of Jerusalem, and he realizes, man, I'm next. He's vulnerable to attack by these strange people and by their strange God. Now, it's important to know, as Mike has said in earlier sermons, that this is not just some ordinary, innocent country of people. God has already devoted these countries to destruction based on the rampant sin and evil practices of these countries and their leaders. This is much more than just some physical battle we're talking about. And when you look at some of the lineage of the kings dating back to Genesis, this is a spiritual battle. You know, there's familiar names in here. Adonai Zedek, very similar. King of Righteousness, similar to Melchizedek. There's something bigger than we can really know going on here. The King of Jerusalem. We know about the history of Jerusalem. This is a showdown not just between superpowers, but between God and other spiritual forces. Adonai Zedek, King of Jerusalem, sees all that God has done through the Israelites, and he does what you and I would do if we were in his shoes. He fears greatly. It said, he fears greatly. I want to think about fear for a moment. Fear shows up from several different angles in this story. We have Adonai Zedek, who's afraid for his town and his people, and his response we'll get to read about and think about here in a bit. There's the Gibeonites, who it's still kind of hard for me. Growing up as a kid, I always saw them as just they lied, they deceived. But if you were here last week, it's really interesting kind of looking at them through a different lens and realizing, wow, they, even more than the Israelites, reached out to the Lord in what they did. So it's kind of this strange mixture of looking at the Gibeonites and seeing that they were afraid for their lives and they turned in a very unique manner to the Lord. And then you have Joshua, the Israelites, in this, they wrestle with their own fears that God speaks to. It's amazing to see their faith. I'd imagine some of them, thinking about the Gibeonites, some of them would have had to been upset with their leaders. Okay, we just went and did this scheme and made an alliance, but now we've made our neighbors angry at us. And yet even in that moment, what do? They reach back to Joshua and to the Joshua's God and say, don't forget us, protect us, save us. Fear. What is fear? We think of fear, certain images come to mind, but fear, especially from a biblical standpoint, is a form of awe, even a form of reverence. And the more you think about your own fears, which I'll ask you to do here in a moment, and think about it beyond just some of the simple fear that we think, you start to realize, yeah, a fear is something that becomes bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. And it results in something. You're giving reverence, you're giving time, you're giving attention to something. It's a form of awe or reverence. It's something that demands our attention. Hollywood has capitalized on fear. Has anyone ever gone and seen a movie that tries to exploit your fears for entertainment value? Obviously, many of you have. It makes millions and millions of dollars every year. And I read one author that kind of made the, he kind of looked at that and how successful these horror films and things are that, you know, kind of exploit people's fears. And he kind of pointed to that as a subtle look at how even the most staunch non-believer, atheist or whatever, has this innate desire supernatural. Because you can see when people go to those movies, they want to have their fears exploited. It's something bigger, something unknown, something mysterious. What do you fear greatly today? I don't know how many of you are journalers. We just went on this, you know, the Wahi trip, and each day Aaron would encourage us to spend time writing certain things down. And I'd love to, whether you do right now during this sermon or right after, to write down three fears. You could do it now. Sit down and think, what do I fear greatly? I have noticed the older I get, the more, maybe it's, I don't know if this is fully true of you, but the more complex my fears get. I can still picture being a little boy, or I don't know how old I was, but I remember having a friend over, and he told me about one of those movies that he had watched involving a closet and certain things coming out of a closet. And I can remember looking at that closet with a certain level of awe and respect from a negative. And I had a hard time sleeping that night, right? But the older I get, I wish my fears were just as simple as a closet. Or whatever it was, right? The fears, and I don't know, when I sit down to write down, you know, it's hard to just limit to three. You know, I can start writing down the fears. I fear that I really am who I think I am, and I'll never be who I want to be. And it goes on out from there, you know, and fears around my career and my job and certain things that I expected that aren't happening the way I thought they would. you know, my family, my fears, the more, the older you get, the easier and the more complex it feels like your fears become. I want to invite you to think about, maybe even write down some of the fears that come to mind. Your fears will tell you a lot. And ultimately, and I believe if you look through the biblically, ultimately they tell you a lot about what the Bible calls the ultimate fear. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Like we already said, I'll say it again, just to keep wrapping our minds around it. The fear of the Lord results in devotion or destruction, based on whether we harden or whether we endure in yielding to it. We sang a song earlier this morning, and that yield stood out to me. Whether we harden to the fear of the Lord, or whether we endure in yielding. You see, Adonai Zedek, this king of Jerusalem, he witnessed the same thing that the Gibeonites saw. He saw the awesome power of the Lord as the Israelites conquered these mighty nations. Yet, did he yield to it, or did he harden against it? You guys got to tell me. Got to make sure you're all still awake out here. What did he do? Did he yield, or did he harden? He hardened. His fear of the Lord drove him to lash out, to gather his forces, just like Psalms 2 talks about the kings of this world gather their forces against the anointed one. He gathers them, he hardens. And what was the result? Devotion or destruction? We didn't read on past verse 15, but if you read, you see the result was destruction, annihilation. You don't want to get involved in a showdown with the Lord. The Lord, it says, shows confusion. He brings panic. He brings giant hailstones that killed more men than the entire army of Israelites did. And then God chose to extend the day through this crazy, miraculous event with the sun. What about you? When confronted with your fears, do you yield to the Lord in them, or do you harden against him and take your own path? Yielding in awe and reverence to the Lord leads to greater devotion. Hardening leads to greater destruction, not just for you, but for all who are affected by you. We need to evaluate our fears today and bring them to the Lord. And not only do we need to, you know, evaluate our fears, I believe one of the challenges of this, as we see this story play out, we need to endure in yielding to him. See, on our Oahu trip that we took last week, again, this really amazing event, and I kind of, some of you know, some of you may not, Aaron Bryant, my brother, he's involved in a ministry called Family Lines. It's a ministry that our church supports. They're a missionary of this church. And one of their primary goals is to take fathers and sons and fathers and daughters and to create, I'm going to get his, if he was here, he would tell me wrong, but to create connections, to create, I can't think of the right word all of a sudden off my head, but to help them connect and to see one another differently, but and more importantly, to see the Father's love. And their goal is to connect the Father's love into their own relationship. Sometimes that means going back and trying to heal some of the wounds that start at that relationship, which is a really deep one. And so Aaron, I've been on multiple trips with him. He's my brother, and it's amazing to watch because any of us can go out and enjoy a good time. You know, whether if you go down a river trip or something like that, it's just fun. I mean, Carlo and they were there. It's just there's all these challenges. There's all this amazing stuff. But what I love about going on a trip with Aaron is, in their organization, is they bring this level of intentionality to it that makes it much more than just a fun rafting trip. There's questions. There's verses to deal with. And our theme for this trip was endurance. And he had us each day, there was a verse that we'd kind of spend some time meditating on as we're looking at the theme of endurance, and that was, of course, applying to this trip. There was a certain level of physical endurance that was needed, but much more, it was the endurance in our own relationship with God and our relationship with our Son, because that's what we were specifically focused on. And the amazing part is I came home from this week and kind of learned so much richness and then started to spend time on this story. The amazing part of this story is that it is easy to overlook the endurance required on the part of Joshua and the Israelites. And I believe this is an amazing tie-in to the gospel. Sure, God was the one who did most of the work in this showdown, throwing the other army into panic, raining down hailstones, and finally slowing the sunset to give them time to capture their enemies. But you may not have noticed this. Joshua and his army went on an all-night march the night before, surprising the enemy armies by traveling in one night what normally took 3 days. Do you think they were tired? Some of you guys aren't awake still. Do you think they were exhausted at that point, going on an all-night march? The next day they were fighting and pursuing all day, going 20 more miles, pursuing the people. And then when they got to the point where they should have finally been able to fall in bed exhausted, what did they do? I'm sure they're like, for one whole more day, you know, 3 whole days, here they had been doing this work. Imagine the exhaustion and the desire to give up. Yielding to God demands endurance. James 1, 2 through 4, which I'm sure we'll dwell on more in September, but it says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," or endurance, "and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That's the fascinating part about the Bible, about the story of God. God is the one in the story who delivers and does all of the work, yet at the same time, he invites us, his people, to join him, not just as some silent observer, but as an active participant in the story. This takes blood, sweat, and tears, and engages us at a level that we would never have thought possible. Putting yourself in the shoes of Joshua in that moment, and the Israelites. Imagine the exhaustion and the challenges that Joshua and his army faced on this long day as God invited them to join him in this battle by enduring and yielding to him. I mean, he said it in verse 8, "Hey, don't fear, don't worry, I have given them into your hands," and yet he still invites them and uses their strength and even their exhaustion and their endurance as a major part in the story. Today, God has not given us the job of going and clearing out some country that he has devoted to destruction. But he's given us another mission. He invites us to join him on a completely new mission. We've read it many times, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Jesus is sending us, like he sent Joshua, out into the nations with a completely different mission, because the gospel, the ultimate showdown between sin, between death and life, Jesus met on the cross, a showdown involving our sin and darkness, our selfish desires and tendencies to care only about ourselves, and ultimately our death and destruction. Jesus took all of this on himself, and through blood and tears and extreme exhaustion took them to the cross and conquered it once and for all who reach out to him, for all who yield to his invitation to join him. To join him in daily dying to ourselves and our old desires and walking with him and engaging the battle with him. The gospel is the ultimate showdown. Just like in the story we read today, Jesus does all of the hard work. Yet living in the gospel still demands our all. It demands our blood, sweat, and tears as we daily take up our cross and follow him and endure in yielding to him. Will you be like the Gibeonites and call on the name of the Lord in the face of your fears? Or will you be like Adonai Zedek, the previous king of Jerusalem, and harden against it? Many have hardened their hearts to their fears and set themselves up as enemies of God. Philippians 3:18 is very clear about this. Paul says, "For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." Earlier, I asked you to think about your fears. Another way of looking at that is to think about your battles. Because I believe that every battle that we face is an opportunity to either harden or yield. Every battle you face is an opportunity to harden or yield to the fear of the Lord. Every battle is an opportunity to fulfill the great commandment. I believe every battle we face is a showdown where God is giving us the opportunity to make a choice. Will we yield to him in his ways and what we know is right, what we read about in his word, or will we harden and say, "No, I can't stand. What if this fear would happen? This fear is too great, Lord. I'll trust so many other battles to you, but in this battle, I'm going to take my way, my approach, because I don't know that I can fully trust you." I've told several people since I came back from this trip, which was a really amazing time with my son. I've never gotten to take 7 days with one son and just spend time in our relationship together. But again, Aaron throughout the trip was talking about, yeah, there's a certain physical challenge to an Oahu trip. You know, there's a certain challenge that's there. You're paddling, you can get tired, you're using muscles, whatever. But for me, I realized, you know, I loved all that part. That really wasn't even that difficult on some level. For me, my greatest battle and on a trip like that and probably throughout most of the time, it's not so much the physical exertion. It's all of the questions running around in my mind as I'm paddling on this trip. And maybe I'm just messed up and maybe you guys are all perfect, but here's what goes on in my mind. It's like, man, why is that person so easy to talk with? And why are people gravitating over here? And why don't I know what to say? And as I'm working on this battle and I'm just being like, man, Lord, I don't know that I have anything to bring to this group. I don't know that I have anything to bring to this moment, you know, and all, the battle is raging inside. And I believe those battles, as James tells us, are an opportunity that God is giving us to say, Mark, will you yield or will you harden? Will you harden and just try to like live out maybe what I've done many times? Okay, I'll just try to be the funny, sarcastic guy and say things to try to make a place in the group, you know, to try to make a name for myself so I don't feel bad about myself. And as I experienced this week, certain times of saying things and then realizing, man, that hurt somebody. But all along, God was inviting me, Mark, will you yield to me? Will you yield those thoughts and those fears that you've lived with your whole life, you know, ever since high school and beyond, all those fears about maybe I'm really not that important or maybe I'm not that really good or whatever the enemy whispers into your head. He's like, will you trust me that I know who you are? That I know exactly why I made you the way that I am? That I really want you in this moment to be exactly who you are and to be right here in this moment and to wage war by yielding to me, by knowing that you are loved by Jesus Christ and not having to go out and earn something, but just being here, even if that's being content to say nothing and to enjoy the conversations going on around you. I don't know what your battle looks like, But I believe every battle you face is an opportunity to fight, to spread the Great Commission, to spread the message of the gospel. The fear of the Lord results in either devotion or destruction, based on whether we harden or endure in yielding to Him. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, we desire, we've already sung about, we want to yield to You. And Lord, I don't know what yielding to You looks like for every person out there, but I've known and seen what yielding to You looks like for me in this moment and many other moments this week. Father, I choose, I want to, I desire to yield. And whenever those questions and battles raise back up and I'm tempted to harden or to run away from You or to stand up against You or whatever, Father, and I pray for every person here, Lord. I pray that they would be aware of their fears and they would recognize that their fears are a gift from You that gives them the opportunity to decide whether they will fear You or harden against You, Father. Would You teach them and show them, Lord, about their battles that they're going to enter into this week, Father, that it's really hard to think about being joyful about, yet You tell us to find joy in that moment because You are doing something that we couldn't ever know, that You are wanting to grow each one of us to a maturity, to a finished product that only You can know. Lord, I pray that You would do Your work this week. Lord, and I pray that for the person who has not yielded to You in baptism, in recognizing that You did all of the work and yet You still invite us to participate with our blood, sweat, and tears, to surrender our lives through baptism, Father, would You speak to that person and would You invite them to join You today, Lord? Show us how to endure in yielding this week. It's in the mighty name of Jesus I pray. Amen.
We want to thank you again for joining us today and let you know that we love you and Jesus loves you. And you always have a place here at ACC. If you made a decision for Christ today, or you just want to talk with someone, please don't hesitate to reach out. We have a really easy contact form you can fill out on our website, or you can call us at 360-293-3729. We would love to talk with you. Go in peace and have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you soon.